Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful and the powerful and the beautiful and the mighty story of your resurrection from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful truth that we can know you as Lord and Savior now, and that we have the privilege of not only knowing you, but going all over the world to proclaim your word. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Empower us to grow as your church in our understanding of the need for us to always keep the high priority of making disciples before us as you would have us to by the power of your spirit. And empower us to be a going church, a church that is mission-minded in the way we approach all that we approach, always listening to the voice of your Holy Spirit and ready to do whatever you're calling us to do in the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we're so thankful that we can come before your throne today, that we have your listening ear, that you stoop down and listen to us. And we're thankful that to know that the way we approach that throne is being clothed in the righteousness of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. We're thankful, Father, that he sits at your right hand on high and will come back one day to take us where he is. Father, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. A continued reminder, we're encouraging you to take time to visit the AFA Resource Center, formerly the AFA Bookstore. The AFA Resource Center is a marketplace to provide for you tools, books, items that will help to encourage you in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, tools to help you to disciple your family and to disciple others as well, and tools to help strengthen you as a follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stop by and pick up some of the great resources that can help you to help transform our culture and our world. Visit the AFA Resource Center by going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. AFA Resource Center is a ministry of the American Family Association. We are blessed and honored to have with us in studio today Jason Candle. He's the Vice President of the Vice President of Global Outreach International, Vice President of Operations, I believe it is, of Global Outreach International. Jason, thanks for being with us today.
Man, it is my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, great to have you. And I'm going to ask if you'll take time to further introduce yourself much better than I did there and tell our listeners who you are and more about what you do with the Ministry of Global Outreach International.
That's great. Yeah, so I'm a new resident here in this part of the world. We have just moved here from Indianapolis down to Tupelo, and we're excited to be here because I've recently taken this position with Global Outreach International. My family and I spent, I have four boys, my family and I spent 10 years overseas in the Middle East working among Muslim groups there and community development in order to be able to share the gospel and see churches planted in that area of the world. Came back a few years ago and I was working as a missions pastor at a church, and the Lord opened up this opportunity to to be involved in Global Outreach International, and started at the beginning of this year. So I'm really excited and thrilled with the opportunity that God has put before me and my family to continue to be a part of the process that He's using to be able to show and share the love of God with the nations. After all, that is what that's what we're called to do as believers. You just read, you know, a missionary's favorite passages of Scripture, the Great Commission, that where Jesus commissioned His disciples to go and make disciples to all the world. We see that that is the mission that Global Outreach is involved with. So I get the privilege of being involved in the entire process, the whole life cycle of a missionary. So from the process that when we're trying to see them mobilized to go to the field, so we are having opportunities to be able to share with and cast vision for at churches and missions conferences around the country, being able to see new missionaries and mobilize to go to the field. We are involved in training. My team does the training for them to prepare them for that. But we also want to come alongside the church to be able to help the church equip their missionaries and disciple their people into seeing more laborers go into the harvest. So that really is what my job is. It's to train, mobilize, equip the church to send missionaries, and then we want to come alongside them as well to be able to care for them well while they're overseas. Because it's definitely a challenging thing to be involved in ministry in a cross-cultural context, and there's so many things that come up and are required in a person's life as they are engaged in those things, and so we want to help them navigate those unique challenges.
Well, Jason, I'm going to ask, before we go further, specifically, if you'll pray for listeners to really have ears to hear what the Lord wants to say to them, because every single listener will probably hear something different today.
Sure, sure.
There are those people who God is calling maybe to the foreign mission field, some to maybe a home mission, but God calls every believer is, of course, called into ministry in some capacity. And as you speak and as you share about the work of Global Outreach, there will probably be many who will be encouraged one way or another to get more involved in the work of the kingdom of God. So would you pray for our listeners as we start?
Yeah, for sure. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the fact that we can come to you as Father, as a God who understands us, as a good Father, who knows our needs before we ask, who knows exactly what we need, Lord. And we come before you now, knowing also that you are our Father in heaven, that you are sovereign over everything. And Lord, we recognize and realize that, Lord, it is you who calls, you who draws people to yourself. And Lord, as the listeners of this program hear the things that you have for them to say through our conversation today, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will communicate clearly in their hearts and minds what they should do and where they should go and how they should be involved in seeing your name proclaimed around the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason. And Jason, as we begin to, I think of this, sometimes It's funny how the stereotypes people have of different things. You know, like some people think of a missionary as he's wearing a hard hat and sure. he wears shorts in yeah. the jungle and lives in a mud yeah. hut and maybe eats bugs or something. You
yeah,
know,
he's got a machete, pith helmet, you know, hacking through the jungle. Yeah, right. sure.
Would you take time specifically to very clearly explain to our listeners first what global Outreach International is, because there are probably some who, number one, don't even know what a missions agency or sending agency would be. But explain what Global Outreach is and what its specific mission is as a ministry.
Yeah, great. Global Outreach International is a missions sending organization that partners with the church to send missionaries to fields around the world. So we are there to help facilitate the financial components of that. So we are a 501c3 charitable organization so that tax-deductible gifts can be given on behalf of those missionaries. But we operate in a unique space where a lot of mission agencies that send missionaries around the world, they take a percentage of their of the what the missionaries raise in order to cover the overhead and expenses that go along with having an organization that has to have a legal identity and all of those things. We actually don't do that. We have a 100% promise that so everything that a missionary raises for their particular work overseas, that goes to them. And so Global Outreach is there to help the church send missionaries to the field. So we want to help encourage the church. We want to help disciple the people in their congregations to catch a vision for how they might get involved in what God is doing around the world. Because that fact of the matter is He is doing things around the world, and mm-hmm. we just get to be the privilege of being a part of it. So we want to help facilitate that process of the church sending missionaries overseas.
Okay. Do you have a website that you can point people to yeah, to learn more?
Yeah, for sure. Anybody that's interested in going or learning more about this can go to www.globaloutreach.org. It's very simple, globaloutreach.org. Mm-hmm. That's our website.
Okay. And so it's a mission-sending ministry, basically.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And so is this like for long-term missions, short-term missions, or all of both?
Yeah, there's multiple pathways that people can operate in. For sure, we have opportunities for people to get involved in short-term. So, you know, you're talking a week to a month type of an opportunity to be exposed to what God is doing overseas. We have a mid-term option we call them short assignment missionaries, which is a 1 to 2 year assignment. And then we have a long-term career missionary pathway. So if people are interested in that and knowing how they might get involved in that, they can go to the website, sign up, and we will help them and understand what that process looks like. We connect with them and their church, and there's a vetting process that we go through. And then there's training that goes along with that to help equip them for the unique challenges of life in ministry overseas.
Mm-hmm. And so people have to be qualified, basically, to be able to function as a missionary.
Yeah, they do, in the sense that they need to have, you know, an understanding of the calling that the Lord has put on their lives. They have to have a church backing that the church is saying, yeah, we affirm the call on this individual or this couple or this family. And that they, depending on the nature of the work in which they're involved, we would want to see that there is a skill set or competency to match that. Because we have lots of different kinds of missionaries around the world. You mentioned, you know, the stereotype of the guy in the pith helmet hacking through the jungle. There are some things like that are true, but we also have missionaries that are involved in business, who are professionals, who are working in medicine and working in doctors. We have all kinds of different missions opportunities available for people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Well, we'll pick up there on the other side as we come to a break now. Our in-studio guest today is Jason Candle. He's the Vice President of Operations of Global Outreach International. We'll be right back.
Find a way out, yeah. Play into my weakness. sold this heart of mine. It's you. It's you. Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line.
Music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Father, we thank you for the ministry of Global Outreach International, and thank you for many other ministries that are mission-sending organizations that help to send forth missionaries to go to carry the gospel to all the world. Father, thank you, Lord, for every single believer listening. Father, anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of every believer listening, so that they'll be abundantly receptive to your word and your will and your spirit. And help us all to grow in our understanding of the need and the call upon each of our lives to be mission-minded in the way we approach everything we do in life, knowing that all of us are called by you to carry your, to help carry your word to the world. And we're called by you to be ambassadors to represent your kingdom. Help us have ears to hear all you want to say to us through this, and especially persons that may be feel called possibly to a foreign mission field or a nearby mission field, but help us to learn to live in a listening mode, continually listening for the guidance and direction of your Holy Spirit, listening and looking for opportunities to be used by you day by day in the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Jason Kendall, Vice President of Operations of Global Outreach International. And Jason, would you share the website one more time for people
sure.
if they want to learn more about
sure.
Global Outreach?
It's www.globaloutreach.org, globaloutreach.org. Okay.
And so, again, you mentioned that a part of what Global Outreach does, of course, is to help missionaries to get the support they need and the backing they need to prepare to go on the mission field. Do you, in terms of numbers, do you know how many, can you tell me how many missionaries you all presently have, are sponsoring now?
Yeah, we have approximately 260 missionaries in 46 countries around the world.
Oh, so y'all are busy. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. There's plenty of work to do, but there's a lot more need out there that exists. So we need to see more missionaries and more laborers going into the harvest.
Mm-hmm. And so a part of what you do you all help them to do their fundraising, or they have to do the fundraising and it just funnels through Global Outreach?
Yeah, we give some training on helping them to, you know, to create the communications that are necessary to be able to cast vision for donors to be able to give to them. So they are responsible, the individual missionaries are responsible to raise their funds for the ministries in which they're working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then that comes in through Global, and we are able to distribute that in ways that are legal and appropriate for our government context.
Okay. Well, would you say too, like as far as of course, I don't know how long has Global Outreach as a ministry been in existence?
Just a little over 50 years. It started back about 50 years ago as an agricultural mission. So there were a handful of people in the area that wanted to see, create opportunities for farmers and for people that were interested in service overseas. And it primarily started in Central and South America as opportunities to be able to help with agricultural projects as a way to both show and demonstrate and declare the gospel. So they wanted to show and share the love of God, and they did that through using agriculture as a platform to be able to do that. But it is now expanded beyond much, much farther beyond those original beginnings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you share maybe stories of persons that you've seen that have been helped and just empowered to really carry out their mission through Global Outreach?
Yeah, well, we just finished we didn't do any mission orientation trainings in 2020 just because of the global pandemic that we were all dealing with. So we did our first one in 21 this summer. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of really wonderful cases of a couple of individuals that were a part of that class of new appointees. There were a couple of single women that were involved with that the Lord has directed in their hearts to go and teach in Uganda. So there are some opportunities that exist that we have relationships with missionaries that are already on the ground there working in impoverished conditions in places in East Africa. And they are recent college grads that the Lord had put on their hearts that said, you know, this is some, I want to use the education that God has given me to go and impact those that don't have the same opportunities that exist here. And so we were able to be a vehicle for them to help prepare for the things that they're going to be facing when they launch to the field after they raise their support. So we are involved in helping to train them, to orient them to the unique things about cross-cultural life. And that those things happen in the context of the training time that we do. There was some modules that they do before they come to the in-person time. And then together we have some experts that come from all over the country to come and share, the realities of living cross-culturally, what it means to share the gospel in context, you know, where you're not using your language and you're not using the normal constructs that you're accustomed to living here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So that was one example. Another example of a family that came to us. It was almost a second career option for them. They were both mm-hmm. trained engineers, mm-hmm. and God had opened a door for them to go and to go and be involved in ministry in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And one of the men is going to be teaching in an international school in Ethiopia there. And his wife is going to continue her engineering work in Ethiopia, being able to connect and engage with people in that community and using her expertise in those environments. And they came to us, with a tremendous resume already of the gifts and talents and experiences that God had already put in their lives. And they want to use those for the kingdom. And they want to use those to be able to see new worshipers of God come into his kingdom by creating opportunities to develop relationships through the platform ministries that they have, but then using those relationship opportunities to be able to share the gospel so that people can know and understand how good and great our God is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have many missionaries that, like, for example, and I guess, of course, your own experience, you were, there was yourself, your wife, and you had several children.
Yeah.
Is that very common that families come that are planning to go out on the mission field as a whole family?
Yeah, I think it just depends. I think it is common. Yeah, I think that, there are stages of life in which it's more common. I think that younger families, younger couples are probably more inclined to be ready to go. And I think that there's probably another area where, people are at the towards the tail end of their career and want to consider new options and new ways that the Lord might be using them. But it definitely is across the spectrum that we see families with kids and established kids and that are coming. We see single men and single women, some in various stages of life themselves and various stages in their own personal careers, some right out of college and some are, right in the middle of what we would consider their normal career path. But it varies pretty widely.
Mm-hmm. Well, how common is it that, like, for example, maybe you have a couple that they have children and they're ready to go on the mission field, but their children feel like they're not quite there? Is that something you run into from time to time or not really?
For sure. And that's one of the other things that I'm really thankful for at Global, that we actually have a director of missionary kids. Mm-hmm. And so she's an expert in...
A director of missionary kids?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So she comes alongside the families and the parents and helps them navigate those unique challenges that they have for their kids. So if they're bringing kids with them on the field and the transition that is required for that, or sometimes they, have kids once they're on the field and some of the unique things that are involved with those, she comes alongside those families and helps to facilitate those transitions and some of those difficulties that they face. For sure that happens where kids are not quite around the corner on those. And, those are things that we want to take seriously and help the family navigate that transition before they make that decision, because we certainly don't want it's a fine line to balance the fact that we're supposed to love King Jesus supremely, and be willing to forsake everything else, but we don't want to encourage people to sacrifice their families on the altar of ministry, because we know for sure that the Lord wants our primary ministry needs to be to our families and our kids. And so we have to be careful with, you know, trying to push people out the door and saying, oh yeah, you need to go, you need to go, when they're dragging their kids kicking and screaming. Those would be things that we would be concerned about. But it is normal for families to take time in through the process of transitioning. You know, there's a lot of ways that we can suggest on ways to help facilitate that transition. One of them would just be, you know, taking a survey or vision trip with their family so that the kids can see it and get to know people in the community a little bit and see that life might not be as difficult as they might think.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, the husband and wife may be gung-ho, but it's not always where you find the children just fall in line and say, hey, Dad, Mom, we're ready to go anywhere you want to go.
Yeah, anybody with kids knows that that's absolutely not the case. That Mom and Dad may be all ready for something, and kids are not always on board with whatever it is that Mom and Dad want them to do. Mm-hmm. So for sure, that's a process.
So how should people pray for the missionaries that come through your ministry? What would be a fruitful way for people to pray for them?
You know, I think that there are a few things. You know, when we talk about how we should pray for missionaries, I think we need to look at what the scriptures say and how Paul, in particular, who is the prime example of what a missionary is, when the scriptures talk about how he asked for prayer, there are a handful of things that he prayed for. I think that we want to pray that missionaries would be confident in the Word, that they would be walking in the Word, and that they would trust God and believe Him completely. We want to ask that they will create. Paul asked for prayer that God would open doors of opportunity, and he asked for prayer that he would be bold enough to walk through those doors of opportunity. Those are things that we want to pray for our missionaries as well. We want to pray that they would be satisfied in their relationships with God, that they would have deep fellowship with Him. I think that we want to pray for peace between believers and teammates and national believers that they're working with, as well as unbelievers, that the Lord would create inroads of opportunities for those. I think that, you know, we're talking about protection, provision, and peace. Those are some of the top three things that I would encourage our people to be praying for missionaries, that God would protect them, that He would provide for them, and that He would provide opportunities for them, provide the financial resources that they need, and then peace, that the Lord would establish that shalom, righteousness, peace of the right ordering of relationships that they need to have with their communities.
Would you take time now, specifically, Jason, to pray for the Lord to raise up more people that are intercessors specifically for missionaries, both foreign and home missionaries, people that understand the need for prayer, the prayer foundation, or prayer backing for missionaries, please?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we're humbled by the fact that we get this opportunity to come before You and pray and ask You to, Lord, raise up more intercessors. Lord, realizing that prayer is our weapon against the status quo, Lord, that the way things are is not always the way that things have to be. That, Lord, we can recognize and understand that us coming before You is us rebelling against that, the brokenness of our world around us. And Lord, we need more people to do that. We need more people to pray and to come before Your throne and ask You to draw people to Yourself, for You to pour out Your Spirit, Lord, for You to make right that which is broken, Lord, to fix that which is broken and to redeem mankind, Lord, to have them established in right relationship with You because of faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that You will work in people's hearts that are listening right now, Lord, and engage their hearts to pray, Lord, realizing that at the end of the day, Lord, that is the most important thing that we can do, because You are the one that draws people to Yourself. You are the one that accomplishes spiritual things, and apart from Your Spirit, nothing of spiritual value can happen. So Lord, we pray that you will raise up more intercessors for your name's sake among the nations. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason. You know, something that comes to my mind, just this, a story I happen to know of, just a beautiful story of a lady, a missionary by the name, I believe her name was Gladys Aylworth, but she was a missionary to China.
Yep.
She had an interesting story in that, like, she went to a missions organization and they totally rejected her.
Right.
But, like, you're not missionary material. She went anyway.
Yeah.
And God used her mightily. And
yeah.
I imagine that's a challenging situation to run into.
It is. And thankfully, we realize that we are not, we don't have the corner on the kingdom, right? Like, it's, there's lots of ways to serve the Lord. And the Lord has given us stewardship over a section of his ministry. And we're trying to, we try to do the best that we can with that and want to create opportunities for people who are led by the Spirit to be able to go and do those things. But we know that the Lord is sovereign over all those things and uses all kinds of circumstances to send people where he wants them to go.
That's right. That's right. We'll pick up on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Jason Candle. He's the Vice President of Operations of Global Outreach International, a mission sending ministry. We'll be right back. Music from the group Mosaic, the song Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Jason Candle. He's the Vice President of Operations for the Ministry of Global Outreach International. Jason, would you share the website one more time? If someone is wanting more information about Global Outreach, where do they go?
Yeah, it's www.globaloutreach.org.
All right. Father, we thank you again for all the missionaries that have come through Global Outreach. Thank you for those that are presently connected to this ministry. Thank you for others that you will raise up that will come to Global Outreach in the future. Father, we just pray a special prayer for all of the missionaries that are connected, that are part of the Global Outreach family. Father, anoint every one of them with the spirit of prayer. Empower them and bless and empower them to be the prayer warriors you'd have them to be. And Father, empower them to live lives that are prayer-filled lives. And Lord, raise up many more people that will commit to praying much for all of these missionaries as well, in Jesus' name. And Lord, more and more, empower all of us to recognize the need for us to be mission-minded in the way we pray every day. Teach us to be mission-minded intercessors and prayer warriors that are walking with you, praying wisely for your kingdom purposes every single day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Jason, just a question here too. Missions conferences, why are they important for believers to go to them?
Yeah, they are important for believers to go to because it's easy for us to get tunnel vision and only be thinking about the things that are happening right in front of us. And it's important for us to be hearing stories and getting a vision for the fact that God is interested in seeing the nations come to know Him. I mean, from the very beginning, when God's first promise that He made to Abraham, when He in Genesis 12, when He promised Abraham that He would be a blessing to all nations, like it was part of God's plan, and that's the whole story of the Scriptures, is to see is God's heart for the nations as it's unfolded, and we see it repeated throughout the Old Testament of the fact that He chose His chosen people in order to bless the nations. And I think that it's easy for us to get tunnel vision and to be distracted by the things that are going on, and we just get so consumed with what's happening in our own lives, our own communities, that we don't hear about the good things that are happening around the world and mm-hmm. the things that the Lord is doing, and seeing new churches that are planting, that are being planted all over the world, new believers that are coming into His kingdom. It's important for us to grasp a vision for that, to hear those stories, and allow that to be something that causes us to worship and to rejoice and to be mm-hmm. thankful to the for what the Lord is actually doing. And so missions conferences are a great way to hear that. It's also important for us to go to those, to be a part of those, to be challenged in our own lives, to consider ways that the Lord might have us to be involved in what He's doing to reach our neighbors and the nations and our communities.
Hmm. Well, would you say then that it really would be wise for every believer to attend a mission conference from time to time?
I mean, yeah, for sure. This is probably just a little bit of a, you know, soft pitch that you're throwing to me here, but 100% believe that it would be good for all believers to attend and to participate in missions conferences, to be challenged in their faith, to grow in their faith, to understand what God's purpose is for the world, and what He, His story of creation, fall, redemption, and this restoration that we will all get to experience one day.
Mm. Well, if someone was to say, "Well, Jason, those missions conferences sound interesting, but I have no intention of being a missionary, so why should I attend?"
I would say that they would be encouraged to pray. For sure. And that is something, you know, I think that God calls us all to participate on some level. A lot of churches, you know, use the formula or the language of pray, give, go, right? Like that there are different ways in which you're involved in God's mission to reach the nations. You can pray. And so going to a missions conference, attending a class on God's global mission, there's a great organization called Perspectives on the World Christian Movement that operates classes, and we're going to be actually hosting one in the spring. Mm-hmm. I would encourage people to consider that, participating in those kinds of things. That will in turn engage your heart to say, okay, what part am I going to play in this? What part am I going to have? Am I going to be somebody who's praying and regularly interceding on behalf of missionaries around the world, on behalf of the gospel works that are happening in our community and in our state? Or is God calling me to give? Is He calling me to give financially to, or to give material things for these causes that are happening? Or is He calling me to go? Is He calling me to participate specifically in with me and my family and what He wants to accomplish? And so we all have a part to play as believers, and it's usually in at least one of those three areas. And going to a mission conference, being engaged in these kinds of things, and listening to broadcasts like this, the Lord wants us all to consider how we are participating in it.
And, you know, I guess you've probably heard this many times over, Jason, that your average person, when they go to missions conference, it changes. And also when they go on a short-term mission trip, it changes their life.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. You know, and when people talk to me about, you know, when they ask us about the time that we spent in the Middle East, and, you know, we get a lot of questions like, oh man, were you concerned about your safety? How, you know, was it really hard being there, you know, living in, you know, in places of turmoil like that, where there's civil wars happening and, you know, conflict and terrorists and all of those things. And by far, the most important and difficult thing that happened while we were living overseas was what God did in my own heart, because it's the process of being exposed to our own blind spots that being in a cross-cultural environment opens our eyes to those realities and shows us in our own hearts ways that things in us that we didn't even realize were there. I had no idea how angry of a person I actually was until I moved overseas and was confronted with a different culture. And it was amazing to see those things in my own heart that I was able to keep covered because I knew the rules of my home culture well enough that stuff was covered up. But the Lord uses those cross-cultural experiences to erode that stuff down, that we can see some of those things poke out in our lives. And it's a beautiful thing. And this is, I think, what Paul talks about when he talks about the fact that his power is made perfect in our weakness, that when we see those things, that God's grace is poured out on us. And so, to your point, they go on short-term missions trips. They see these things. They see how God is working in those places. They see things in their own hearts that they maybe were idols. And the Lord creates opportunities for us to confess and repent. And we get to experience his grace in really powerful ways and causes us to grow closer to him. And so it is absolutely a process of discipleship and growing in our relationships with the Lord through these cross-cultural ministry experiences that the Lord allows us to understand him better, who he is and what he's doing.
Hmm. Well, our time is almost gone here, Jason, though, but could you maybe if you can, in the next minute and a half, try to address this. I know it's a big topic, but the fear that people may think, well, it's dangerous over there, dangerous in certain cultures or communities. How would you say missionaries really deal with the dangerous side of things?
You know, I've heard people say that, there's no safer place to be than right in the center of God's will. And although I understand what they mean when they say those kinds of things, the fact is it's not totally true. I can't really say that, you know, because there's lots of times that the Lord calls us into places that are difficult and unsafe. Mm-hmm. But I can say that whatever sacrifice we might have to make, be it our personal safety, our comfort, whatever sacrifices of relationships that we have to say no to, or we have to say goodbye to, and you know, the sacrifice of the opportunity cost of what a career in missions looks like versus a career in any other kind of context, you know, you're not going to be a missionary and get rich. There are things that cause us to say no, I don't want to do that, because we have to count the cost. But I can for sure say that he's worth it. Mm. That no matter what the cost is, and you look at the scriptures and you see so many times the Lord showing in his disciples what the cost of being a disciple really was. Mm. You know, he said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And yet for every single thing that he tells us that we're supposed to sacrifice, he turns that around and offers an eternal, spiritual, heavenly reward as a result of following him. And so whatever sacrifice we might have to make in loving him supremely and believing him completely, he is worth it, and it is worth it. Amen. And so it is sacrifice of safety, the sacrifice of personal comfort, all of those things pale in comparison to the joy of being a part of what he's doing in the world to see people come to know him.
Mm. Share your website one more time.
Globaloutreach.org.
All right. In these last few moments of the broadcast, again, as usual, there may be someone listening who's never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're not really sure where you stand with the Lord. Well, today is a good day to get saved. I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me if you like. And if you're not saved, today is a good day to get saved. Or if you sense a need to recommit your heart to the Lord, we invite you to pray this prayer with us. If you'll simply pray it with us, we invite you to do so. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much. You came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Help me to be the person you want me to be. In your word, you said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd really like to be in touch with you, like to share with you some literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Again, jparker@afa.net. We hope to hear from you. Jason, would you share one more time, if someone is wanting more information from Global Outreach International, share the website again, please.
Yeah, globaloutreach.org, and they can go on that website and click the next steps, and they will be directed to a form that we can get in contact with them.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us
today.
Man,
it is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Father, again, we thank you for the Ministry of Global Outreach, and thank you for many other ministries that are out there that are sending agencies for missions. Lord, anoint Global Outreach and anoint all these ministries. Raise them up. Raise up intercessors for them, financial supporters, and all they need to be more fruitful vessels in your hands according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.